Turn to Genesis 17 this morning, and we will follow the prayer we had last time. Last time we were talking about Abraham believing God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was asking God, "Hey, I don't have an heir in my house, and Eliezer is going to inherit everything." And so God took him outside and showed him the heavens. Well, we move forward now a few years, and in the interim, Sarai has told Abram that God has restrained me from having a child. So why don't you go into Hagar? And we read, Abraham heeded the voice of Sarai. I think that was a mistake. And I don't think it's wrong to heed your wife, but I think it's not correct to heed your wife without prayer. And I don't see where Abraham prayed. I think if he would have prayed, there might have been a different result. But we're going to see the consequences of that decision in today's prayer a little bit. And we fast forward now another bunch of years into chapter 17. Now Abram is 99 years old. And so the promise was given to him in chapter 12 when he was 75. So it's been almost 25 years that he was promised he would have a son. And he went 10 years and then he went into Hagar. And now another 14 years, 13 years has occurred since then. And God tells him who he is now. He says, I'm El Shaddai, walk before me and be blameless. That's interesting, isn't it? I am holy, you be holy. In other words, that's what God is saying. And we see Abram fell on his face in verse 3. And then God changes his name from Abram to Abraham, from many nations to father of many nations. With the ha in there, it becomes father of many nations. And he promises him these various things. I'll make you exceedingly fruitful, make nations of you, kings shall come from you, I will establish my covenant with you, and I will give your descendants and you the land of Canaan as an everlasting possession. And then he goes ahead and says, my covenant shall be circumcision. So all of you shall be circumcised. So then God now, I think one of the big things in today's prayer is we see God revealing his purposes in steps or by degrees. And we all know this, but here is a good example of this, it would seem to me. Because in verse 15, God said to Abraham, as for Sarai your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name, and I will bless her and also give you a son by her. Now, this has been 25 years since the promise he would have a son, but this is the first time God tells him that the son is going to come from Sarah. Isn't that interesting? So I think when we get all anxious and we want to know the second step and the third step and the fourth step and the 114th step before we take our first step, you're going to wait a long time because God's not going to give you the second step until you take the first step. But we see God's purposes revealed here by degrees, it would appear. And then we see Abraham responding in humility and joy. And we run into these two characteristics often. I might have mentioned to you in Leviticus 9, where it has the first priestly ministry, and it tells, God is telling Israel how to worship, and if they worship in that way, the glory of the Lord will appear to them. And it did. And their response to that was humility and worship, because they all fell on their face and they shouted for joy. So we see here, and I think those are two characteristics of pure worship, is humility and joy. I think that will pretty much always occur, and I think somebody who is a real true worshiper of God's life will be characterized by humility and joy. Mm-hmm. And we see here in verse 17, Abraham fell on his face. And of course, when we fall on our face, that is humility, is it not? And he says, shall a child be born to God, who is 100 years old, and shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And then he thinks it over a little bit more, and he says, oh, that Ishmael might live before you.
Yeah.
So we see here Abraham is not mocking God with his laughter. If he would have been, he would be rebuked, because later Sarah laughs and she's rebuked. Abraham is not rebuked, and I think that was a laughter of joy. I think he is just saying, oh, God, You crack me up. This is too good to be true. I can't believe it, you know. This is awesome. But he also, he falls on his face, and then he laughs. So there's a great humility with the joy and a response. And he's kind of restating the thing, you know, I'm 100 years old and Sarah is 90 years old, and you're telling me it's going to come through Sarah? What good news, but really, God, are you able? Are you able to do that, God? And so I think we get in this situation here, is there anything too hard for God? This is another example, it seems to me, that here is a 90-year-old woman who has been praying for a child all her life, and God says you're going to have a child in a year from now. And we say, really? Are you sure of that? I find myself, I don't know if you do this or not, I find my prayers often are somewhat responsive to the degree of difficulty. If somebody comes up to me and says, would you pray, I got a headache, you know, I'll say, oh, yeah, I'll be glad to pray. I say, Lord, take care of the headache. And then I go right on, right? I mean, it's not a big deal because I know God can take care of a headache because I've seen it over and over and over again, right? Mm-hmm. But I find myself, for example, if I'm at a cancer support meeting or someplace like that, and here's somebody really, really suffering and has been praying for months for healing, and there's no healing, and they ask me to pray. And so what I usually do in a situation like that, I get people all around to lay hands on, and I start to pray, and I mean, it's Jesus, 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 you know, you're praying like there's no tomorrow, you know. I mean, this has got to be a strong one because we got a big problem here, right? But I think that's kind of foolish, really. I think we're to pray fervently, but I don't think that curing cancer is any harder for God than curing a headache. Do you? If he can create 100 billion galaxies and 100 billion stars in each galaxy, is it kind of hard to cure cancer? I don't think so. So I think our God is able, and I think he's able to produce a son here from a woman who's 90 years old, which he did. But Abraham, he is a good father, and he loves his son Ishmael. He says, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. Now, this is after God has already told him the son's going to come through Sarah, right? And notice what happens here. He asks God to bless and affect Ishmael. Does he not? Does he not? Oh, that Ishmael might live before you. And God answers that prayer because in verse 20 we read, as for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. He shall beget 12 princes and I will make him a great nation. And God did exactly that. Now those 12 nations have been nothing but a thorn in the side of Israel ever since. And I think maybe one lesson here for us in this prayer is when we have fleshly messes, such as the Ishmaels in our life, it might be better for us just to submit them to God and let God take care of them. And God, you deal with this the way you should deal with it, as opposed to me telling God how to deal with it. You know, I work really hard on this mess, Lord, and I want you to bless it. I'm not sure that's the right prayer. But that's what Abraham basically is doing here to a degree. He is saying, bless Ishmael, and Ishmael's of the flesh, isn't he? Oh, that Ishmael might live long before you. And God says, no. I don't think that was the right prayer when God says, no. Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his descendants after him. And so we see here then just several things. We see God reveals his purposes in steps or in degrees. We see here responsiveness by Abraham of humility and joy. We see him praying to the Lord, and his prayer is, the first one is good, of thanksgiving. Shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old, and shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? But then he goes on and prays for Ishmael, which we can see why he did that, but I think that we ought to be careful. First of all, if we get into these fleshly things, to pray before we follow through with them, because that's the first mistake Abraham made. He heeded his wife without prayer, it would seem. At least we don't read he prayed. And the result of Ishmael has been a problem pretty much ever since. So that wasn't really the best thing. And yet we see Abraham was a friend of God. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted for righteousness. So it's kind of gratifying to me to see that these great men of the Bible are not perfect, because, as we've said before, if they are, then where would we be? I did want to point out just two more things that just follow through with this, really. When we see in verse 23, it says, Abraham took Ishmael, his son, all who were born in his house, and all who were brought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskin that very same day, as God had said to him. Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised. Notice the obedience here of Abraham on that very day. And notice the word took in verse 23. Abraham took his son. He didn't tell his son. He took his son. He didn't say, son, it's going to be a good idea for you to get circumcised one of these days. So you with children, or you with grandchildren, it's important not to just to tell your kids about important things, but to take your kids, or to make sure your kids do it. I think of Eli and his two wicked sons in 1 Samuel. And God rebuked Eli, and he said, you saw them doing vile things, and you did not restrain them. And so, parents, take your children. Don't tell them, but take them. And also we see here is faithfulness in having every male circumcised in the house. Now, that's something, right? In other words, if you want to work for me, this is what God has told me to do, so this is what you're going to do. I think the ACLU would have a little trouble with that. Yeah. And then also we see the personal obedience. You know, at 99 years old, Abraham could have said, it's good for you young guys, you know.
Yeah.
I think this would be a good thing for you young guys to be circumcised, but, you know, to be more sensitive and really be reminded of the Lord your whole life long. But I'm 99, you know. I'm kind of late in life, Lord, for have to go through this. I think I'll just have my household do it, and you know, that'll be good enough. No, he did it himself as well. So we see the faithfulness here. So, Father, we thank you for this prayer, and we just thank you for your faithfulness, and you are able. We thank you for revealing things to us in a manner and in a method that we can understand them and handle them. If you gave it to us all at once, we probably just couldn't do it. We just probably couldn't handle it. And we thank you that you enable us to worship you, and you allow us to come before you. And may we come before you in humility and in joy. The joy of the Lord indeed is our strength. And so we just bow down before you this morning and praise you for the prayers in the Bible and the whole word, Lord, which is written, that we can learn from them, Lord. And so help us, and help us not to move in the flesh, but help us to be moving in the Spirit, and particularly all significant decisions, Lord, of any nature, such as having a child or something like that, big thing that lasts forever, really, that these decisions would never be made without prayer, Lord. And even in the little things, Lord, we desperately need you. So now, Lord, as we want to just open ourselves up to you and in humility and in joy, and respond to you in prayer as you would prompt us to pray. There is so much to pray for, and all kinds of outreaches and baptisms and creation fests and various things. And Lord, we just need to pray for the state of the church. We need to pray for the state of Calvary Costa Mesa. We need to pray for the prayerlessness of our nation, and maybe even prayerlessness in our own lives and in our own church. We want to pray for the lost, Lord. We want to pray for the missionaries. We want to pray for the pastors. And Lord, just each one of us has a whole long list of prayer requests, I'm sure. Maybe some should be brought out in this meeting, maybe others shouldn't because of the confidentiality and so forth. But Lord, whatever you would have us to respond to this morning, may we respond in one accord, Lord. So we give you this time now and just thank you in Jesus' name.